I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto Metropolitan University's esports team continues its growth with new sponsorships and new teams in competition and the tournament circuits. They're looking to build on its momentum of the past 2 years amid the pandemic, as enthusiasm and interest for competitive gaming increased. With the school year finished, its teams look forward towards the summer tournament circuit. Today, esports president Benson Lam joined CGRU to discuss what's next for the teams.
My name is Benson Lam. I'm the current president of Ryerson Esports.
All right, cool. How did you first become interested in competitive gaming?
So about a decade ago, I actually got into gaming when I was around 11 or 12 years old. And my first experience with competitive gaming was actually just going to an internet cafe and seeing the whole environment back then. And back then, gaming and esports wasn't really well known. If you told someone you were going to play some games for money at a venue in Toronto, people would look at you funny, right? So I've just seen the progression grow and grow, and I've been part of that wave. And it's something that's been really inspiring me for me to see. And it's something that I always strive towards, especially with Ryerson Esports, and giving that same experience back. Since gaming has become so mainstream in the past couple of years due to COVID and everything, right? So you just want to provide that same experience and give everyone a chance to play games and also showcase the positivity and the environment that gaming and esports can bring to a campus level and also to the Toronto community in general.
Mm-hmm. Were there any specific games that first, I guess, piqued your interest?
Yeah, the first two games that really piqued my interest were League of Legends and CSGO at the time. Those two titles were really popular back then, and it was kind of like the only games that people played, especially in high school. So, for example, in high school, everyone played League. If you didn't play League, then you were not considered like a gamer or something. So I think those were the main games that really drew me in, and it was really the first few titles that really drove the path for esports in general.
Mm-hmm. So how did the Ryerson esports teams get started?
Yep, so we've been active for almost a decade now. Gaming and esports at Ryerson has always been here, and some of the earliest content creators and people in the whole gaming space actually started in Toronto or the local GTA region. So for example, Pokimane went to U of T, Sanchovies went to Ryerson. We have a lot of talent here in the local Toronto area, and a lot of that started out early, actually. And then once people started seeing the value in esports and small tournaments started popping up, like CSL, for example, that's when we started making our teams and seeing what possibilities we can offer. So we started like our League of Legends team, CSGO team, Valorant, and all those other titles that we can see potential in.
In addition to the ones you've mentioned, what games are part of the competitions and like the weekly sessions?
Yep. So all of our teams participate in weekly leagues. So we have titles like League of Legends, Valorant, CSGO, Overwatch. We basically offer any kind of game that's popular right now. And on top of our competitive teams, you also do casual events. So in-person events such as viewing parties. And we also host in-houses that anyone can drop in by. And those are usually like the most popular games. And we try out new ones, like, for example, Final Fantasy 14, Destiny 2, and it's seeing what's happening around the gaming space that we can really capitalize on.
Mm-hmm. Approximately how many members are part of these teams? And how many teams do you guys currently field?
We field over 16 different rosters across 10 different titles. And the current amount of players we have that are all students are around 100 plus. And on top of that, we also have our own creative team that's in charge of broadcast, graphics, marketing, and making sure that the entire brand is consistent. And that team is over 50 plus students. And on top of that, we have like sponsors, for example, like Genji, and we have supporters like Red Bull and the faculty as well.
I'm going to get to the sponsors after, but one thing you really mentioned too, especially the growth and expansion of esports during the pandemic, what has it been like for Ryerson's esports teams during this time?
It was both really hard and also exciting. The exciting part was the fact that esports was finally getting highlighted a lot. A lot of people saw gaming as an actual mainstream way of entertainment and also jobs as well. Like a lot of people wanted to get in esports just because of COVID and everything. And that was a really good spike in popularity for us. But at the same time, because COVID shut down a lot of in-person events, a really cool aspect of esports is the in-person experience. So going to these events, playing on LANs, and seeing, like, actually interacting with the players in person and seeing all the cool stuff we're developing on campus, that was all shut down. And on top of that, because of how Ryerson works, we didn't get really a lot of funding over COVID since we weren't operating in person. And the whole experience was kind of muddled down by our chances. So we had a lot of good opportunities and everything, but I feel like we were limited in the capacity that we could have expanded.
I guess with things kind of gradually loosening up and I guess a return to a few more in-person events, what has it been like recently, especially during the winter semester?
Yeah, it's been a really good experience. COVID has obviously been dying out a little bit, so we've been hosting one or two in-person events. We did a viewing party in December that was really popular, and we had around 60 plus people attend in the middle of midterms. So it was really exciting to see a lot of people come out and support our events. And we're definitely planning a lot more in the future. I think with the city opening up and everyone being excited for in-person events, we're definitely collaborating a lot and seeing a lot more engagement about these type of events. And we're really excited to host more in the future.
Mm. A good thing you also mentioned too is there's both the competitive and casual aspects of it. How are you able to maintain that balance within the community?
Yeah, so I think our main objective is kind of creating the line that separates competitive and casual scenes. So for example, a lot of people, when they actually first join our club or our Discord, they get really intimidated because they see all these like team tags, all of like these guys competing, all the high ranks. But for us, it's more about defining that barrier and like setting it so people don't have to be afraid about being too competitive, right? We want to make sure that our casual events are strictly casual. And that's one of our main objectives, is getting everyone involved into esports and into gaming as well. Because a lot of people might not have the same experience compared to like the people who are grinding the game 10 hours a day, right? So we really want to make it as accessible and as enjoyable for everyone who joins our community.
Was this something that just been like a long held thing, or is it like something for you personally as a president you wanted to maintain within the culture of the community?
Yeah, I think it's something that's been one of my personal goals ever since I first joined the esports space, because as someone who's been a competitive gamer and also like wants to bring people into gaming, right, like the casual space, I really wanted to make it as inclusive and accessible for everyone, because gaming is not like, only the few percentage actually are really competitive, right? And gaming highlights a lot more about, less about competitiveness and more about like community and inclusion that a lot of people seem to forget. And you really notice that at LAN events and stuff, it's really a strong community, and I really want to highlight that, those aspects, even if it's competitive or not, or casual or not. I think it really unites everyone together under one single passion. And that passion is usually like pretty well hidden. Like a lot of people, their families aren't accepting of them playing games all the time, right? So you want to bring those communities together and really make something special.
Can you describe to me the process of joining a team and like how are tryouts organized?
So all of our teams have sort of like a hierarchy to them. So they're all made, they're all overseen by us, like the admin team. But then we assign a manager to that position. And the manager can delegate all the positions, like coaches, assistant managers, assistant coaches, all the players as well. And then we begin recruitment usually at the beginning of each semester based on if the team actually needs to recruit. So for example, if we start a fresh new team, we look for managers, coaches, and we start the recruitment process. So based on the game, it could be having rank requirements, dedication, stuff like that. And then we just recruit throughout the season, the first few weeks of the semester, and we start going into the season.
How are coaches chosen?
Yep, coaches are chosen by experience. And actually, a lot of the coaches that we do hire are either alumni or people in the scene that are very experienced in coaching. And they really bring a good environment to all of our players.
Other than skill, I guess, what is also being assessed for a potential member to join a team?
Yep, skill is obviously one of the more important parts, but it's also really communication and dedication to the game. So a lot of these games are really team-based. So for example, Overwatch is like arguably one of the most team-coordinated games. And you had to really work well and communicate well to actually play. So even though you might be the most skilled one, right, if you're not communicating with the team and being a part of actively discussing with the team and improving, then it's something that we look that might not work as well. So we've actually seen this where some people are like, hey, I'm top like 10 in the world, but then they come in to join our teams and they don't have any team cohesion. And you can see that in the whole like tier one esports space. A lot of teams aren't playing well because they don't cohere well, right? And it's all about developing that synergy and having the teams work well and communicate well.
With the semester kind of ending, for your competitive teams, when does the tournament circuit begin, and what are the major ones that Ryerson has sent teams for?
Yep. So we are actually playing over the summer as well. A lot of tournament organizers has luckily opened up a lot of summer leagues for collegiate. So this includes leagues like CSL, NACE, NECC, and a lot of other big ones that we're participating in. And realistically, over the summer, our teams are very open to just playing, whether it's in person, online, and really playing in all these circuits to get as much experience as possible. Because the main issue with playing over the semesters is there's school, right? So to be a player on our team, you had to have a full course schedule, right? To be considered a full-time student. So a lot of our players, if they're fourth years, have a lot of issues dedicating themselves to like scrims and practices. So we don't really want to force anyone to be so overburdened. So over the summer, that's when we really start to pinpoint and determine like what we want to commit ourselves to.
So overall, as of right now, because I know it's going into the summer, but how has the season been going for Ryerson so far? Have there been any notable wins or moments you would like to shout out here?
Yep. I mean, all of our teams have been making it to playoffs and have been, you know, slowly making money and making a name for themselves. A lot of them are really dedicated to grinding out the game. Like, a lot of people are open to like joining other orgs. So that's one of the main things that we want to highlight at Ryerson Esports, is building the path to actual professional level playing or careers in esports. And that's something we really strive towards. A lot of our alumni actually work in the esports industry, whether it's at Twitch or Epic Games and other like places. And that's one of the main objectives for us at Ryerson Esports, is not just like giving the playing experience, but also giving them the actual real world experience once they do graduate. Because there's only 4 years here, so we want to make it the best possible 4 years as well.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned also with alumni, with the coaches, with the managers and so forth. How are you been able to kind of build that connection with what you said, that there's the, you stay in undergrad for 4 years, but then there's these other people that afterwards go on to stay with esports.
Yeah. So it's a really exciting, I guess, and more recent thing actually, because back then when he graduated from, let's say in 2014, if he graduated in 2014, there's not a lot of positions in esports actually hiring, or a lot of gaming jobs, right? It's so limited. But I think now with gaming's popularity, it's such a wide and open environment to actually join into. And the really exciting thing is that no one actually knows, because it's still new, so no one actually knows these positions and roles. So a lot of like people are like hiring and experimenting with what collegiate esports can do, and we're really sending in as many people into that space that we can.
Mm-hmm. I know like recently you guys also had the Contenders Cup. Can you just talk to me more about that one, please?
Yep. So the Ryerson Contenders Cup was a collaboration with the Collegiate Esports Hub, which is run by Mainline. And it's a tournament series that we run every month that is based around one game. And then basically anyone can sign up as a team and we just play it out. We have free prizes and it's a really good way to showcase the community, and anyone can join. And we even broadcast these matches as well.
Great. I guess going now to the sponsors, how did it first start with Gen G Sports for you guys?
Yep. So the first contact with Gen G was actually communicating with their club coordinator that specializes in education. Gen G is actually one of the only few esports orgs that are really high, really well known to actually be doing stuff in education. So for example, they actually have the first like esports dedicated high school in Korea. So they've been expanding into the North American market, and that's when we started talks with Gen G about sponsoring and growing the overall scene with support of Tier 1 teams. Because a lot of Tier 1 teams aren't actually exploring collegiate and are trying to now, but Gen G has been one of the early supporters, and we've really appreciated their support so far.
Mm-hmm. And for you guys, what does this sponsorship mean moving forward?
Yep, it just basically legitimizes our brand more. So actually having the backing of a Tier 1 org to actually help support our teams and also give a name for ourselves, because a lot of the stuff we do is often unrecognized. So having Gen G actually back us and showcase that we do mean something in collegiate esports is really important to us.
Mm-hmm. I also saw as well, and you mentioned it, that there's the Red Bull sponsorship. How did that one begin?
Yep, just to clarify, it's not like a full-on sponsorship. It's just like they're supported by us.
Oh, okay.
But Red Bull has a collaboration with the Conduit, which is the Red Bull Gaming Lab, which is a research lab at Ryerson. And because they're also in the gaming space, they've been supporting us throughout, and we'll be working closely with them to collaborate on events and help each other out team-wise.
You've mentioned also already that there's a lot more plans for tournaments in the summer, but I guess moving forward to the next school year, what is everything kind of looking like? What are the future plans for the esports teams?
Especially with us having a dedicated facility on campus with the Red Bull Gaming Lab, we're going to go full all out on the next semester and over the summer, actually. So this involves making everything almost in person and having it full on as an organization. Because the issue with COVID and also like the construction of the lab is that we couldn't do as much in person. But now that we actually have everyone coming back on campus and more dedicated to in-person events, we'll do stuff like media days and really give everyone on our teams the full esports player experience. So having press releases, photo shoots, video shoots, and making as much content as possible.
What would you guys like to say to people who want to know more about Ryerson Esports or just more of esports in general?
Yeah, we have a lot happening behind the scenes. Like a lot of stuff that gets posted on Twitter or Instagram, people are like, oh, we want more daily postings. But it's a really behind the scenes effort that every one of our staff oversees. So it's not just like 10 of us running, it's actually 50, 100 of us working behind the scenes to develop these projects. And a lot of the issues with esports is a lot of the companies we pitch to are very old style. They don't know anything about esports, so it's a long process to actually get them on board. And that's something that we really dedicate ourselves to. So for example, like the previous president actually passed down a lot of his projects to me, which I've been managing. And those projects have been in development since like 2015, 2016, right? So it's a really long process, and I really appreciate if everyone can understand that, like, we want to do more. And now that's actually happening, like, we're really excited to see what happens in the next year.
And I guess because you've also already mentioned that you like that emphasis between casual and competitive. For, I guess, first time people that want to get into esports, what would you like to say to them about Ryerson esports teams?
Yeah, I mean, if anyone wants to get involved, it's really an open industry. So a lot of the people in these positions have worked in different industries. So for example, like some of the people working in broadcasts worked on like video production or YouTube, for example, like making shows. And those skills really transfer over. And esports is really an encapsulation of all these skills developed through online communities. So video editing, motion graphics, they all relate to esports and are part of different sectors. But esports is a culmination of all these industries, and it really showcases like the whole online thing. So if you ever want to get involved, just, it's not too scary to be like, to ask, hey, I want to position this. But if you have the experience in other industries, it definitely helps out a lot. So Ryerson Esports has their own Twitch page, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and our Discord. We actively run events through our Discord and post them on Twitter. We also do like stuff like video montages and stuff that we post on our YouTube. And any big tournament or event, we usually stream on our Twitch. All these announcements are made on our Discord and our Twitter, so please keep up to date on those. Also our Instagram.
That was Benson Lam, president of the Toronto Metropolitan University esports team. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.